Welcome back to the Activation Face. This is Tim, and I'm here with JP as always. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. I just noticed I do all these hand movements, and that like there's no camera. Why am I doing this? Anyway, we are doing Normans today. Another horse and javelin faction, just like the Welsh last time, but they play very differently. So let's get into it, JP.
Oh yeah, let's do it. I'm pretty pumped about this one. This is probably one of the more popular factions in Age of Vikings. So let's go.
It was my very first faction, by the way. I started playing Saga with this faction because I loved their one legend that lets you keep the dice when you use your abilities. Anyway, sorry, let's go.
Yeah, we don't talk about legendary. Get out with this.
Yep.
All right. So who are the Normans? Basically, Vikings who stayed in Normandy. Actually, I wonder what it was called before, like the Normandy people who stay there. Nobody knows. anyway, we're super prepared for this one. Let's. I think everyone knows the Normans. Like, it's fine. Like, we all know they stayed in France, and then they end up conquering England, and the rest is history, I suppose. So, equipment options. So, your warlord may be mounted on a horse. Your hearthguard may ride horses. If your hearthguards are mounted, they may be equipped with javelins. However, the hearthguards in your warband must be equipped the same way. What? Okay. Warriors can either choose no special equipment, be mounted on horses with javelins, or... you can even choose 8 to be equipped with crossbows.
Yeah.
And then finally, your levies must be equipped with either bows or javelins. And then there's some fluff-based text here that you can actually either play Normans or Bretons. So back in version 1, there was an actual different Breton board. However, now they've kind of like jammed them together in just the Normans board. So this seems to be more of a soft... restriction. I don't know why I say that, because it's kind of in Italian, so it seems optional, but I'm not sure if that's correct. The Breton levies are traditionally armed with javelins, while the Normans favor the bow. If you prefer a historical approach to the game, your hearthguard's equipment will dictate your levies' equipment.
All right. They added one more line to this in an FAQ saying that this is not, in fact, optional. So if you want your levies to have bows, then your hearthguard will not have javelins. And if you want your levies to have javelins, then your hearthguard will have javelins.
All right. So the choice here is either melee hearthguard and then bows for your levies, javelin hearthguard and javelin levies, which seems sensible once we get to the board itself. So it's using the red continental dice. So same as Carolingians, Polish.
Yes.
Else? I think that's it.
I think that's it.
All right. Nice. Let's actually just go straight to the battle board.
Because it's a good one. All right. Okay. Yeah. So, anything of note about the basic abilities, JP?
I don't know. My cat just jumped in front of my battle board. So
let me tell you, they're all basic hero.
Yeah, they're all heroes. That's what I thought, but I didn't want to commit myself to this. So, okay, we can now continue to the. I feel cheated here because normally I do it if it's completely basic on the.
Oh yeah,
the basic abilities.
Sorry. Is there anything special here, JP, about the top row?
No, they're all basic. There's no special things. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad we kind of restored the balance of the universe.
Sorry, that was my fault, of course. All right, so first advanced battle board ability is called Charge. It's a melee ability that can take any die facing, and it's only for a mounted unit which charged themselves. So the ability reads, gain 2 attack dice, or 4 if you use a rare. Your unit may gain an extra 3 attack dice, but will suffer an extra fatigue at the end of the whole melee if they do. So, for the low price of one extra fatigue and a common, you can get a juicy 5 attack dice, which can be brutal with your warriors, for example, if they are in javelins, and if they are armed with javelins, and you kind of just want them to go in and die. And so this is, I think this is an amazing ability if you want to go aggressive, because not many of these Viking abilities, Age of Viking abilities, can match 5 attack dice for a common. And so I think this is a very good ability.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only confusing thing is it's called charge, and sometimes some newer people think that it also allows you to charge. So I had that two or three different times with different people. But except for that, yeah, I think it's a very good... it's like 5. Who doesn't like 5 attack attack dice?
Yeah. And I mean, right. The rare is okay, I guess, but a rare for 7 attack dice... It's also good value, but for a common or like any die you have left over, right, for 5 attack dice, that's just good stuff.
Yeah, I think later on we also see that there's some pretty good rares.
Absolutely.
Only later on, so it's probably not worth, I guess, unless you roll exceptionally well. All right, so that's the first one. The next one is wounded for a, uncommon. I was trying to figure out what these little symbols are. So this is a shooting ability. If the shooting attack inflicts at least one casualty, the enemy unit takes a fatigue once the shooting attack is resolved. This is a pretty nasty one, actually, especially for guys with, if you're facing composite bows or javelin mounted armies, because they always kind of have problems dealing with fatigue.
Yeah.
And then also just getting that wound through is much easier. Especially if you combine this with another ability, which uses an uncommon later on the board. I think we'll get to that. And that's kind of like your standard Norman combo the first few turns. But I think it's good all around. And then it even works with just the javelins as well. So if you decide to go the Breton route or just warriors with javelins and stuff like that, that's also intense, especially if you are just shooting before charging in or something like that.
I think the only downside about this ability is looking at, and I know abilities are balanced in their board and in their age, but looking at this ability and then looking at the Hun ability, which basically does the same, but you can take a common or an uncommon, I think. And it does need to inflict a fatigue, and you still get the a casualty, and you still get the fatigue. That's a little bit depressing if you have that matchup, which I had. Of course, I was playing the Hun, so I was fine with it. But this one is great, but sometimes if you play this in a combat, that means your opponent will kind of use one or two more of their defensive abilities just to make sure that none of the figures, none of the models actually die. There's no casualties, just to mitigate this fatigue, because the fatigue, of course, can be backbreaking. And so if you can definitely use this to kind of bait out a defensive ability that your opponent usually would not have played if you hadn't played this. So not too bad.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it is purely based on the internal balancing, because with the volley fire, being able to put a fatigue on a unit 2L away.
So yes.
It's pretty powerful.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So overall, totally worth it.
Yeah. Next up is Envelopment. It's an activation reaction that takes a rare. Trigger this ability after an enemy unit activates, but before their activation is resolved. Activate for a movement all mounted units that are more than M away from any enemy. So before they do their activation, you get to move your whole army as long as they're more than medium away from enemy units. So that basically means that usually after charging, your unit will be stuck here because envelopment won't work for that, but this is, if you have the rare to spare, this is a an insane ability in matchups where it's about getting across the table, which is usually not a problem for mounted armies anyway, but this just makes it incredibly easy. And so I think this is a good ability that is kind of hard to activate sometimes because the rare has really got good spots on this board.
Yeah, definitely. I think probably the sneakiest way of doing this is right at the end when you see, as an Enormon player, if you see your opponent only has like one or two activations left,
mm-hmm.
you can play it because then you're going to be safe. You're going to be in position next turn to do your charges or to be in position to move up for a second time without fatigue. But yeah, you just need to watch out because I've, as an opponent to Enormon, sometimes I also just don't do the last activation if I see they have
development. Yes, absolutely.
On. I'm like, okay, I'm going to skip this one. It's not worth it. And then it kind of messes up their plans. So it's really, really powerful. And it kind of makes them a little bit like the Welsh, except for better in terms of being able to move everyone in your opponent's turn.
Yeah.
Potentially. Or at least the guys who matter, which are just your guys on horses. All right. So the next one is using a common. It's called Superiority. This is a melee or shooting ability. Remove a fatigue from your enemy unit, remove a fatigue from the enemy unit to inflict two extra automatic hits. This is pretty amazing, especially if you combine it with Wounded from earlier it makes it amazing, especially if you're shooting or doing melee with armor 6. Units, even though I guess you'd have to do the math, I guess, if you're fighting for an armor 6 guy with a fatigue, you might want to figure out which one's better, two automatic hits or just using the fatigue. But it's a pretty sweet one. I think mostly it gets used in shooting, at least against me, because two automatic hits is insane. Especially if you're looking at people in cover or anything like that. It just makes it pretty sweet. And for common, this is totally worth it, I think.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like the board has so many good abilities that it sometimes struggles with leaving this one up. But at least for me, in my experience. But I think this is such a good one. If you play, as you said, into Hearthguard armies or even into... depending on how many attacks or hits you are expecting in a warlord-on-warlord battle or whatever, this can definitely, skew the fight in your favor. Nice one. All right, next one.
I guess
one.
It even makes, a single levy figure or charging a single levy figure if you have a fatigue on you. Makes it, you might think twice about it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next one is another Welsh ability. It's called Gallop, and it can take a common or an uncommon die. It's an activation reaction. Trigger, after an infantry unit has been activated to move or charge within medium of one of your mounted units. But before the activation is resolved, activate your mounted unit to move. So if someone's coming too close to your very squishy guys on warriors on horses with javelins, play Gallop. Have them run away and live. I feel like that's the game plan here. If you left them out too far, or if that was your plan and you had a good charge and your opponent's planning to countercharge, just get them out of there with Gallop. Make your opponent spend another die to catch up, or possibly just make them have a fatigue when they get to you. It's all about, I feel like with the Normans, it's all about either killing your opponent by being a super aggressive javelin man, and then saving your guys if possible, so your own casualties aren't too high. One more thing about Gallop, though, I think the Normans are already very good at running away from infantry armies, and this only triggers if an infantry army gets close to your mounted unit. So I feel like it makes them better at what they do, what they already excel at. And so this doesn't get used too often because sometimes it just doesn't add too much more value to what they can do. So being good at something and getting even better at it is great, of course. But I mean, it's pretty easy for you to just stay out of infantry range and still be within like charge range with your own dudes. So especially with the envelopment helping you out a lot with positioning. So yeah. Just yeah.
No, I think so too. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is a two-dice ability. It's called Impact. It's an activation for a mounted unit. You're using two commons here. Activate a unit to charge or shoot. During the shooting attack or melee that follows the charge, you may reroll any attack dice that score 3 or less. I must admit, this is probably one of the least played abilities I've seen. You do get essentially a charge, or I guess a shoot, and then also rerolls. So it's not bad in terms of dice economy. But I don't think it's really kind of moved any combats or any shooting either way for me. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's just, yeah, the two dice makes it a little bit heavy, I guess, to play, especially when you have so much other good stuff on the board and you actually want to move your guys as well. So I don't know, what are your thoughts about this one?
I feel like when you do the math, right, and there's a very good charge ability coming up in a second here, when you do the math, the other charge ability usually comes out on top. I mean, this is a two-die ability in a very dice-hungry board because all the abilities are good. And so it's hard to play this one. I would love if this was a shooting or melee ability that said it's just one common. So leave the charge out of there. So you need to charge it any other way, and then it just reroll your threes or lower. That would be great. That would synergize so much more with the other stuff you have going on. And so this, of course, it can work well together with charge, like impact and charge. Are a great combo, but impact's just so expensive. So yeah, rerolling is great, especially if you're fighting very high armor targets. But the next charge ability that's coming up, I think, usually just comes out on top, so this doesn't get played too much.
Sure. I think we're closing in on like the signature ability of the board right now.
So, I mean, both of them really
give you the honor.
All right. Next up is Volley Fire. It's an activation for a unit with bows, and it takes an uncommon die. It's activate one of your units to shoot. For this shooting attack, the range of their bows is large plus large. So two large shooting instead of one large shooting. So 24 inches. And of course, this is amazing. This is keeping your levy safe in the back and being able to shoot super far and use your good abilities like wounded or superiority. It's just very good because usually that's a downside, of course, to bow levies, them being very weak to actually being attacked. And so this is great and can hurt a lot of armies. And I feel like this personally for me is the ability that makes me approach a game into Normans differently than I would approach different other games, because the terrain is super important here, because you kind of need to make sure that the horses don't get you, but you also kind of have to make sure that these bowmen don't get you with their 24-inch range. So having high terrain and having difficult terrain is a must. Playing into these guys, so ruins are your best friends, I feel like, going to the Normans just because of this ability. What do you say, JP? How much percent, like in how many percent of games, how high of a percentage do you think of games uses this ability when Normans are there?
I don't see why you wouldn't use this, to be honest. Because if you're activating your levy anyway, it takes an uncommon.
Yeah.
So this is like an absolute no-brainer.
Yes.
But yeah, every, like you said, basically this ability in itself already dictates how you deploy the terrain. And yeah, it really makes you think about, okay, where do I put like either the high, actually you don't like the uneven hill, to mess up the cavalry as well and to block line of sight, or where do I put the large woods so that it, like they don't have a gigantic arc of fire. So it's really just having a look at what your Norman opponent does. Normally they'll put down the ruins or the rocky ground somewhere, and then you can just figure out, okay, this is where they're gonna bunker up their levy. So I need to put something like a large piece of terrain right in front of it as close as possible to block as much of the board as possible. Even if it hinders yourself, it's totally worth it, because otherwise they're just plinking away your hearth guard, your mounted hearth guard, just all game. Or they're just kind of ruining your day. So this is such an incredible, powerful ability. And I think some of the scenarios which kind of give a little area of L around the middle line, or the M each side of the middle line where you can't put any terrain, just has such a gigantic impact if you're playing against Normans. Like you're just going to get shut off. It's going to be a bad time. So I think it's difficult to understate how much of an impact this single ability has on, well, one, if you play as Normans, how much you're going to set everything up around it. So make sure that you're not blocking your line of sight from your levy or anything else, and make sure that none of the terrain is in the way. So
after this, this very, very powerful, like, 2L high range ability, we have basically another very powerful 2L high range ability, and it's called Pursuit, and it takes a rare and it's an activation. And it says, activate a unit to charge. This generates no fatigue. This unit gets 3 bonus attack dice during the ensuing melee. So move your 12 warriors with javelins up, large, and then charge with them again, large, and get no fatigue and bonus attack dice. And I think you can make incredible missiles with this, with just this ability in mind. Because if you have, like, for example, you have 5 warriors or 7 or whatever, and you get these bonus attack dice, and then you can play charge, so you get a lots of extra attack dice. So of course you take the fatigue on these small units, and you just your small unit will, like 5 warriors, for example, they will throw 13 attack dice with the javelin bonus, of course. So you don't mind if they die in the end. It's 5 warriors; they will take out more than like what they are worth right now. So this increasing your range to double elf, it's just so good for these mounted factions. I mean, we know it from the Carolingians. They have a similar ability that works super well. And of course, if you end up, if you manage to play envelopment the turn before to set you up for the next turn, and you can make pursuit work, then you have insane range to really hit what you want to hit, like mounted hearth guard, for example, where you need to kind of maneuver around some terrain to get to them, or maneuver around some annoying units like levies or whatever to get to them. And so this is this can make you super aggressive, and of course that is my playstyle. So pursuit making your charging super good, and volley fire making your shooting super good. I think it's a great combo.
Yep, this is I think probably the first place you'd put a rare.
Absolutely, down. I would agree.
So, good times. All right, so the next one is called Retreat for an uncommon. This is a melee ability. Gain 2 defense dice, and then gain 2 extra defense dice if your unit is mounted and fighting foots. I think here they meant to say infantry or people on foot, but never mind. So this is pretty sweet. I guess if you don't want your very fragile guys mounted with javelins to die and their first melee, if you messed up, this is where you would put it, and then they kind of have a chance. But yeah, like I think this one's more if you're already getting charged with your guys on horse, you're doing something wrong. But this kind of, if you don't have quite the dice to get them away, or if they're fatigued or whatever, and you do want them to live another turn, this is not a bad place to put it. Again, also really good on your Hearthguard, really good on your Warlord as well.
Like these Normans, they're quite good at Warlord action. Like they can do that well, I think. But and with the next ability coming up as well. But I mean, you, of course, a more skilled player than me would want to protect a Warlord. But I feel like these guys open up forever very Warlord centric game if you wanted to do that. Okay, so the last ability, and all right, JP, let's give me a rating of how well I set this. I think it's called Dex A.
Yeah,
what do you think? Five. Yeah, all right. Okay, so it's an uncommon and a rare, so expensive ability, and it's an activation. Activate your Warlord for a charge that generates no fatigue during the ensuing melee. They get 4 bonus attack dice. Doesn't work anymore. And gain resilience too. So, of course, charging for no fatigue still works. And getting resilience too still works. But the 4 bonus attack dice, that doesn't work right now because it's just, it's one figure. And with the current FAQ, and we are at the, in the end, it's October 23 right now. So the 4 bonus attack dice don't work, because your Warlord can just gain 1 attack die because he's just one single figure. So this one, I think it sounds great. It sounds super sweet and it's expensive, but in reality, I don't think I've ever seen it played. Like even before the new FAQ, changing it down to basically only doing 1 bonus attack die, I don't think I've ever seen this played. Have you seen this played, JP?
I think once or twice, but not... It's kind of the uncommon and rare combo makes it so difficult to pull off at the right time. And this board is so dice hungry with without many kind of multiple activations anyway, except for, I guess, envelopment. But that's not really super useful for... charging and stuff like that. That you can't really have this just lying on your board doing nothing for several turns, waiting for the correct time to play it. So
yeah,
I think I maximum seen it once or twice this entire time.
So even before the
changes, even before the changes. So.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because it's a pretty cool ability. Like making your Warlord complete beast is very thematic and cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just makes it. I mean, the rest of the board is so amazing. Your Warlord doesn't even have to get into combat mostly with the Normans, to be honest.
And I think you've said it perfectly correct. Like the uncommon and rare, like the uncommon, literally, Volifier, one of your best abilities, takes an uncommon, only an uncommon. Wounded, which puts fatigue on units, takes an uncommon, and all in uncommon. And so these are just already good abilities. And then Retreat, the one that gives you 4 defense dice, like possibly 4 defense dice, also only takes an uncommon. And that basically, it makes it impossible to play this. And then your rare, of course, it should go on Pursuit, and it should go into your activation pool, because you need so many of these dice to fill up your board. So it's just an unfortunate combo of dice, and so it just doesn't cut it on this very good board.
No, but still, like on its own, loose, like kind of disconnected from everything, it's a perfectly acceptable ability. But I'm sure it's kind of on the list to get FAQ'd because it makes no sense this way. But anyway, all right, so we've got to the end of the advanced abilities. Let's.
And we did an old switch redo. I just realized I did Volifier and Pursuit just one after the other. I think that never happened.
I didn't want to interrupt.
I appreciate you.
Pretty pumped about both.
I am. So yeah, I appreciate it.
I didn't want to get in the way.
Cool.
I think traditionally we normally talk about composition of the warband.
Yeah.
And before we move on to the model choice. So, yeah. Tim, as Norman player, what are you using?
I am using a single point of levies with bows to play Volley Fire every turn. And I am playing a point or 1.5 points of Hearthguard, and then the rest filled up with sweet, sweet Javelin Warriors on horses. So I think since the Hearthguard can't have the Javelins, because I want my levies to have bows, I think just having some to keep your wall alive is pretty good. And then having the option to put your guys on foot if the scenario needs it is just very good. And so you guys can fight on foot. They're not like, they'll be all right. And so, yeah, I think that's how I built them. That's very aggressive because you end up with just 3.5 points of warriors with javelins on horses. And you have to, want that playstyle, and I do. And the way I play them is just have small warrior units with their javelins and use envelopment if I can to kind of move around the board and then just pick out the targets that I want to shoot my missiles in with pursuit and charge and take out the key elements to my opponent's strategy. What do you do with these guys?
If I was not painting it, I would take 1 point of levy and 5 points of mounted warriors with the javelins. I don't, and then I probably wouldn't even. I don't actually see like what the Hearthguard gains from this board.
Keeping your warlord safe because you kind of want your warlord to be safe, I guess.
Well, if you have that many guys on mounted with javelins running around, like who's going to have time to shoot at the warlord?
Fair enough, of course, yeah.
No, I think I'd probably do something pretty similar to what you are doing. Also, mounted Hearthguard look really cool. I think this flows seamlessly into the model selection as well.
Yeah.
I think I like to take credit that you suggested to Victrix that they should have unarmored mounted warriors, that there's a large gap in the market for decent models of that sort.
Yeah.
Essentially you can make a very nice Victrix warband with just your Norman, I think they're called Norman Knights.
Yep.
That's what they're called. They have a full chainmail and everything else, and they can kind of used for First Crusades as well. So if you want to paint them for Age of Crusades, it's fine. And then now they actually released the unarmored warriors as well. And then they have just your, can't remember what they called. I think they're just called Dark Age Archers or something.
I have it open right now. Yeah, they are called Dark Age Archers. Yeah.
Yeah, I really should know these things because I've reviewed the sets for the YouTube channel. it's been a while. But yeah, they're like, yeah, just use all of those and you're good to go. You're gonna have a very nice looking warband. And I don't think you're gonna regret any of it because it's looking so sweet. And they even have some Normans on foot. However, I don't think I've ever seen Normans warriors being taken on foot, except for the crossbows guys. And actually, that's a good point. Maybe we should talk about the guys with crossbows, because I think it's a newbie thing that they see crossbows and they take like 1 point of levy with bows, and then they point 1 point of warriors with crossbows, and then the crossbows always disappoint for some reason. I don't know. I don't know if you've figured this one out or not, but they somehow, like the levy archers just do so much. And they can just put out such a volume of fire as well, especially with wounded, with volley fire, all that, and superiority. There's not a lot of reasons to take crossbows, especially if you can just put them on horses with javelins.
So the thing is, right, you don't really generate attack dice in shooting with this board, like, at all. And so having 4 attack dice, and you can only do this once per turn, because it's very hard to move them around and then shoot again. I think, and because you will take tons of fatigue. And so it just, even though Victrix has these incredible new Norman crossbows, which I'm super happy they did, that's very cool. I still think they basically can't perform with this board and the levies being just so good at the LL range and no additional shooting attack dice. So the crossbows just don't work with this one, which is unfortunate, but it is true, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, which is unfortunate. But actually, we also forgot to talk about the Breton option. I don't think I've seen any Breton players.
Me neither.
Recently. So I'm not sure. I mean, there's nothing stopping you just taking 6 points of mounted warriors with javelins.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I would understand if your warrior choice would also dictate your levy choice, like if that was tied as well, but it isn't. So having the best of both worlds, just take levies with bows and then still have the incredible value warriors on horses with javelins, because that's just one of the best equipments in the game.
I feel a little bit dirty saying, oh, play Bretons by not playing Bretons, according to the text, and just make sure you cram in a levy bow unit in there, whichever way possible. But I think that's basically our message.
Yeah.
I think also in terms of Normans being able to be used for other time periods, I've seen Normans be used for some of the later Carolingian warband options as well. The equipment options are not one for one, but I think you can use most of your models reasonably well. Finally, also the overlap between the First Crusade and kind of like Battle of Hastings, etc., is reasonable. The Victrix models provide you with a lot of equipment where you can kind of make them ambiguous in terms of what time period they're fighting in. And then finally, also, I think one of my club mates, Rutger, would be upset if I didn't mention the Sicilo Norman, or Norman Sicilo, I don't know, Sicilian Normans in Sicily, them, because they have some pretty amazing shields and helmets. They're kind of like the ones with like that kind of weird faceplate bolted on.
Yeah, that looks amazing.
Yeah, that looks pretty sweet. So you don't have to be Normans in the UK. You can be Normans somewhere else for a change. And to be honest, they're looking a lot cooler. So that's also a really, really good reason to play them. And yeah, just generally very cool warband. Like, you're never in a bad position with them, except for maybe fighting Pagan Russ. I think that's probably the only matchup which is unfavorable.
Yeah.
Except for if you're playing them, I think at no point you're really on the back foot.
And if you really want to play these guys well, it's totally like it's completely reasonable to just have some foot guys as well, because some scenarios just need you to have some guys on foot. And these Normans, one of their strengths definitely is just being versatile. I think we've said it in many episodes. If your army is versatile, you can play many different scenarios and win, which not every army can do. And so just have some guys on foot ready if your scenario needs it and you want to paint these extra 8, 10, 12, 16 models and have a better chance at winning.
Yep, do it. Okay, cool. So how many... I don't know. What's typically Norman?
How many L's out of 5 would you give them?
five L's out of 5.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I guess.
I think so.
Yeah. How many Norman kite shields would you give them out of 5?
Yeah, I would give them like a solid 4.5 kite shields. Mm-hmm. I think they. The only downside and the reason I'm not playing them is because a lot of people play them.
And that's right.
I always have trouble playing warbands, which lots of other people play. So, but the board itself, super interesting, really cool play style, very versatile. The models themselves are also very cool. So I think there's absolutely no reason not to play them. And they can kind of be shoehorned into some other Age of Crusades or other Age of Vikings warbands. So pretty versatile on that front as well. So overall, I think I would say it's considered to be a top tier army.
Yeah, I think the gameplay wise or board wise, whatever, and equipment wise, they're definitely like 4.2 for me. It's unfortunate that they have one very unplayable ability with Dex A, and then I think Impact can be hard to play, and Gallop can sometimes be hard to play. So that's a bit unfortunate. But hobby wise, in the current scene, again, it's October 23, having every model option available in plastics by Victrix is a luxury that not many armies can afford, especially mounted armies. And so that's incredible. And so the hobby side of things is just super fun with all the decals by Victrix ready and everything. And then, as you said before, branching out into like First Crusades, it's so easy with these guys. And so I think, yeah, they're just hobby wise, they're definitely like a 10 out of 10, 5 out of 5, whatever. They're literally perfect.
I think we've been too positive here. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, yeah. Enough.
Shut it down.
Yeah. All right. So I guess that's it for this week's episode, or for this month's episode. For this quarter's episode. And
yep. Let's manage those expectations.
Yes, thank you very much for listening in. And we really appreciate it. Before this episode, we talked about it, how people were like, are you guys still doing it? And like the podcast? And we're like, yeah, of course. It's just taking some time right now. And really appreciate you guys for asking and listening in. And so thank you. And see you next time, I guess.